along with my allergy medicine to see if that'll get a little any better. All right, we have a two-part tonight. We're going to start tonight as we continue about serving as an effective servant. And it still falls under, I know we started like a deacon training talking about servant leaders, but this is more in the area. Of course, a deacon is a servant. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But serving as an effective leader, and you have the handouts there tonight. Does everybody have a handout? Does everybody have a handout? And then we'll pick up next week as we'll get through a good portion of it tonight, and we'll pick up and continue on next week with the same topic. The biblical relationship between deacon and servant. The biblical relationship between deacon and servant. Here we see the first section, letter A. The word deacon means servant. Servant. They are served, the pastor, as we mentioned before, the pastor's table, the Lord's table, and the widow's table. And that aspect, again, as far as leadership goes, as believers, we should have a heart and a willingness to serve. And we'll talk a little bit later about servant leaders. But if we can't serve one another in the name of Jesus, we've got another problem. I'll be willing to serve and to help in the area where it is needed. 1 Timothy 3:8-12, of course, is referring to deacons, but it says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. And again, this aspect of the word deacon refers to servants. And there are several words in the Greek New Testament which are used to describe servant and service. Number one there is just simply the word servant. Here in Matthew 22, it refers to a bondservant or slave. And I know things are looked at differently today, even in the time there in the Old Testament, a bondservant or slave. And this is referring to how we should look at ourselves in service as unto the Lord. Matthew 22 and verse 3, and sent forth his servants to them to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And he sent again other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now, hear this aspect. I know even as a believer, if we're going to serve others, the bottom line we need to understand, we should not be treated with the aspect as a servant by other brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to be looked upon that way by the world. I'm sorry. If you're going to serve the Lord, not everybody is excited about your desire to serve God. Not everyone is excited about you serving in Jesus' name by serving other brothers and sisters in Christ. But that is what we are. We are to serve. A pastor serves, deacons serve. Leadership of the church should be willing to serve one another. And we also have ministers. And the aspect, again, referring to the aspect of servant. A underling or a under-rower. 1 Corinthians 4:1 tells us, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. A minister should have the heart in serving others. And I think right now that's one of the biggest, if you read any news, and I'm hesitant to tell you my source because there's a lot of garbage that I have to weed through. You ever eat fish that hasn't been deboned? And sometimes it's like that, so I'm hesitant. But I've been reading some things lately about some of the churches throughout our country, the mega churches and others, and some of the difficulties they're facing. And one was it really bothered me, and I thought to myself, how can you call yourself a servant? But I guess there's someone out there. Remember several weeks back where somebody was following Elon Musk around in his aircraft and making note of it and let other people know where he was at? Well, there's some people been doing that and traveling and watching these wealthy pastors, evangelists, and others that have a lot of money. Some of them, I think, are hirelings myself. They have logged more hours in the name of ministry and reverend than your average liner in your community. And I thought to myself, how can they call themselves a minister? How can they call themselves a servant with that type of lifestyle and that type of luxury? Don't get me wrong. I have a newer vehicle. We have a beautiful home. But I'm also ready prepared to use it to serve others. And there's a difference. And that's what we should look at as we serve and we should expect from your pastor as well as deacons and those leadership in our church to be willing to serve others. And then we have not only servant but minister but deacon. Or another word used is also helper. Again, it gets back. We don't need to read it again. But 1 Timothy 3:8, that aspect of a deacon or a helper. They are to help. And let me just put in a plug here and I'll move on. We are blessed as a church to have three men serving as deacons that are willing to serve and to help and encourage, and they check on me. Hardly a day goes by, sometimes one day might go by that I don't hear from one of them or even their wife how me and Michelle are doing. Is there anything I could do for you? And that is much appreciated. They're here, they're willing to help. I can call on them and say, hey, I've got something I need to put off my tray. I need a little more time to study and pray. Can you take on this responsibility? And they've been more than willing to do that, as well as other men in the church as well that has also helped in that area. And that's what it's all about in serving, that biblical relationship between deacon and servant, or serving one another in Jesus' name. Letter B. The so-called seven deacons in Acts 6 are not mentioned there by that name. The type of service they engaged in was of the character of those functioning as servant leaders. And that's what's so important. Don't look at it, even though deacon may be described as servant, remember it's servant leaders. And the best leaders today, many of them at one time were followers first. They were serving others. And as you grow into a ministry, you grow into leadership, I still think we need to remember where we came from, and there's still an aspect of service that we should have. Acts chapter 6 describes it well. It is a spiritual position. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, let's pause here for a moment. They're not complaining about serving others. They're not complaining about serving these other tables. What they're getting at is with our load now, the church is growing. They're the church of Jerusalem. We need some type of aid that we might be more effective with the main thing. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. There's also no administration. And I've told the pulpit committee and I've told other men, my best qualities are not necessarily administration, but I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to turn over some things and getting good help. I don't like to micromanage. If I'm going to micromanage, I might as well do it myself because nobody can do it better than me. Come on, guys, do you not feel the same way? And most things, well, I can do it just as well, but there's some things that I can't, so I have no problem passing it off. And we've been blessed to have men and ladies in our church willing to pick up the slack. When we had that vacuum here a few weeks ago, people just volunteered and jumped in. And it's a blessing. And that's what it's referring to. That there's not, okay, ladies, help me out. Because us guys are a little prideful. Ladies, how often? Let me rephrase that. You don't know where I'm going. I'm changing gears on you. How many times would you say your husband spread himself too thin? Come on, ladies, raise your hands. Your husband ever spread himself too thin? Yeah, I'm taking on too much responsibility or just got to get to the end now tonight, can't get any sleep, waking up. I'm driven. I'm that way in many aspects. And I give good counsel. I do. But I'm never able to stand in the mirror and give myself counsel. To slow down, take a rest. It's that going and going and going. And that's what they're talking about here in serving tables. They're willing to go and they're willing to do it, but they want the main thing to stay at a higher quality. The preaching and the teaching, the evangelizing. People, the church was blowing up. People, these converts needed to be baptized, they needed to be discipled, they needed to be encouraged, and they needed help in other areas so they can be more effective in preparation in doing these things. In verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. This is what makes it spiritual. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That aspect of praying and ministering, discipling, and making sure the gospel goes out. Number 2, biblical principles relating to service. Biblical principles relating to service. Letter A, service must be rendered with the right attitude. The right attitude. If we're not careful, we get caught up in doing something because it's what it's expected of me, and then we don't always do it with the right attitude or in the right spirit. Psalm 100. I'm going to read it through, then I'm going to read it through a second time. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Let me read it again. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his with what? Okay. We are to have and make sure we render with the right attitude. We are to serve in Jesus' name. We should enjoy service. If we're not enjoying it, we need to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? And some things we need to do, maybe we need to do a little more so we'll be a little happier. I don't know, but service should be a time of joy and excitement of knowing you made a difference. We all have different gifts. Michelle loves to entertain and to cook. I mean, we make a wonderful match. She loves to cook and I love to eat. And it blesses her to see people sitting around her table enjoying food. It just blesses her, encourages her, but she enjoys doing it as well. And I enjoy eating it after she does it. But it's that aspect of service, and we all have talents in areas that we can minister and give back and help our church family. God gives us exactly who we need at the time that we need it to be effective here at Harvest as we reach out. He supplies those things, and they're here. We just need to be willing to be used and have the right attitude as we do that. Letter B, service must be rendered not only the right attitude, but rendered in an undivided manner. An undivided manner. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will have the one, he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. I mean, we need to be all in service for the Lord. I'm going to go a little further, and I'm going to say we ought to be all in when we come to the house of the Lord. When I go to church, I don't set my watch alarm for when church should be over. I don't come to leave. But I do have a funny story. Was it David or Robert? I think it was Johnny. He wanted to make sure that he was awake when church was over. So somehow he smuggled a little alarm clock to church with him, had it in his pocket in case he fell asleep. He wanted to make sure he was awake for the last amen to get out and play with the kids. And poor Miss Googe, Miss Lydia, had a hard time trying to get that alarm turned off as it went off in the first section in the front row of the church at the end toward the end of the service. I guess the preacher preached a little bit longer, so it went off a little prematurely. Services wasn't over. But that shouldn't, we don't come to church to leave. I was encouraged tonight. And I was sitting in my office. It was about 20 till. And Brother Leonard come by to talk to me. And I said, Brother Leonard, look what time it is. And I said, now notice how many people are here. Most everyone here tonight was here somewhere between 6:20 and 6:40. Coming to either practice and singing, fellowshipping, spending time together. And after services are over, people are lingering a little longer. Michelle and I usually are almost the last ones to leave unless somebody leaves behind us and locks up. It's encouraging for a pastor to see people come in to fellowship and to stay over afterwards to fellowship as well. It's that aspect of undivided manner. My attention belongs to him. Luke 4:8. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We can't have one foot in and one foot out and be effective in giving our best for the Lord. We need to do all we can to be all in. It's hard to check at the door. I'll be the first one to admit it. It is hard to come in and say, I'm going to leave everything behind me. I'm at church now. I'll pick it up afterwards. It's easier said. It's good to think of it. But sometimes we get to the auditorium and we sit down, prayer requests start, and automatically start thinking about some other things. It happens. But we are to strive and try not to be double-minded or split it, but to be undivided manner as we serve one another. Letter C, service must be rendered as an act of commitment and obedience. Our service should be rendered as an act of commitment and obedience. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, again we say that, serve me, him will my Father honor. We must, again, be rendered as an act, our service of commitment and obedience. What are we committed to? Right now, this rhetorical question, what are you most committed to on a daily basis? What is about your life like? It happens every day like clockwork. Those types of things should be considered. Does the Lord have that same priority? I mean, I'll pick on myself. When I wake up in the morning, one of the first things on my agenda is coffee. To get woke up, I get back in my back room, have my devotions, have my time with the Lord, but I take that coffee with me, and I may use an excuse, but that hot liquid gets me awake. But we ask ourselves, is the same commitment in other areas? Or how much are we committed in this area of service and being a servant unto the Lord? Nothing wrong with needing that coffee to get started, but what I'm saying is, what the problem is my whole time is consumed with just that, and the Lord comes second. Or is it a joint thing where it helps me to prepare to serve, to have my Bible time, to have my prayer time, have my time in devotion? We make sure that we have a commitment to obedience. Letter D, service must be rendered in spite of difficulty. It's not easy serving the Lord. It's not. You think it is? Go out and knock on 10 doors over the next week. See how easy it is. Go out and talk to someone in public and ask them if they know Jesus. Invite them to church. You ask enough people, you'll probably get cussed out at least once. Told where to go and how to get there and how quick to get there. Or you may just be treated horribly, or people may just slam the door in your face. But serving the Lord is not easy. And if you are, again, what did we say last week? If you're having much success without failure, it's because others before you went through the sacrifice and the struggling that you might succeed. If you're ministering and struggling or having difficulties, just keep it in mind as though those coming behind you might have better success. Sometimes you turn the soil, sometimes you reap what's planted once the soil is turned. But we need all have our part in doing that. The Apostle Paul here in Acts 27, basically they were shipwrecked. It was no easy task. And there's times it's going to be difficult. We're going to feel shipwrecked, but it should not keep us from moving on. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss." Paul already knew what was going to take place, but guess what? He got on board with them anyway. You ever think of it that way as you read this passage of Scripture? If the Lord told him that it was going to take place, why did he get on board anyway? Obedience, service. Serving the Lord is going to be difficult. There's time it's going to be joyful and exciting, and there's other times it's going to be a little heartache. Verse 22, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit ye must be cast upon a certain island.'" He said, "Fellas, we're going to be shipwrecked. It's not going to be fun, but the good news is you're not going to sink. The boat's going to sink, but you're going to make it to shore. Sometimes we're treading water. Sometimes we need help up because we're sinking. And there's other times it seems like we're just right on top, just smooth sailing along. The bottom line is, service must be rendered in spite of difficulty. Do you like a challenge? Serving and living for the Lord is a rough road. Some of us have the type of mind, analytical mind. Some of us have type of thinking where, even especially when we were younger, you know, don't tell me I can't do something because I'll find a way to get it done. Isn't it sad as we get a little bit older, become a little mature, become Christians, and somebody tells us it's hard, or we do something that's a little harder, we give up? Or do we give up only because it's not something we really want? Do we want to be servants? Do we want to be used of the Lord? Do we want to serve the Lord no matter how we're treated and no matter how bad even those who love us or say they love us treat us? Are we still going to keep serving? If you serve the Lord long enough, guess what? "I can't reach this knife, Brother Cherry. Would you pull this knife out of my back?" It's going to feel like that. It is. You're going to be betrayed by those you unexpect it. But the bottom line is, if we're serving the Lord, we're doing it in Jesus' name, others may treat us the wrong way, but we know, as Paul said here, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. The ship is going to be destroyed, but we're going to make it to the island. And there's more after that. You're going to read that account. Well, I heard a preacher preach, an old Southern boy preach a sermon called Shake and Bake after they wrecked and had that viper latched onto the Apostle Paul. It wasn't a whole lot of theology. It wasn't real deep. It was real wide, but it was one of those motivating, challenging messages. Folks, the Bible is full of those types of things that remind us things are difficult, but service must be rendered in spite of difficulty. Just keep serving. Sometimes we have to swallow hard. Sometimes we have to dust off our shoes. Sometimes we have to recruit help. But it's going to be difficult, but we serve because of whom we serve and in his name. Amen?